Carlos Wayne Anderson.
Oh, get these shackles off my feet so I can dance. Wow. You know, I came from a Pentecostal background ever since I was about 4 years old. On Easter, we begin with this declaration, generally in song, but I'm going to speak it. And this is the affirmation. This is the reality. And this is what our affirmation in your program says in unity language. And this is the way we said it in the Pentecostal church. One, two, three. The devil's after me. Four, five, six. And now he's throwing bricks. Seven, eight, nine. He misses every time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm saved. One, two, three. The devil's after me. Four, five, six. And now he's throwing bricks. Seven, eight, nine. He misses every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saved. One, two, three. The devil's after me. Four, five, six. And now the dude's throwing bricks. Seven, eight, nine. He misses every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saved. One of the important pieces of the Easter story for me is when Mary and Martha go to the tomb where Jesus lay. They had not had time to prepare his body properly for burial. They had not washed him. They had not oiled him yet. They had wrapped him quickly in a linen cloth. They came back to do the rest and found that he wasn't there. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" This is a flip around from Jesus' entire message to us. When Jesus comes to us, Jesus is on a mission of seeking the dead among the so-called living. We are on a series of doing the parables, and I had a conversation with Brett, and it was like, how am I going to stick to a parable on Easter? But I said, I'll work it out in some way. So I started thinking of what parable I had. Well, what parable did I call in? Well, you're doing the parable of the pearl of great price. It's like, so somehow, Reverend Carlos, you have to connect that to the Easter celebration message. Ministers have preached the pearl of great price in any number of ways, and many of you have heard the many ways. In the Pentecostal church that I was raised in, it was very clear that the merchant who was on a mission to find the pearl of great price was Jesus Christ. And that Jesus came to purchase you. And that he gave up everything of his heavenly treasures in order to get you. I have also heard ministers say that you are the merchant. And that you are in search of your identity, your true self-identity. And that once you have found that, you realize that everything else you have ever had previous to that moment is not worth keeping. This parable tells the story of a merchant who had much riches and many treasures. But when he came across a pearl of great price, they said he went home and sold everything else he had. He got rid of all of his earthly treasures in order to purchase that one pearl. It's interesting to me that Jesus is speaking in parables here. And because we're dealing with parables, I don't know if any of the other ministers or I myself have indicated who he's speaking to at the time. I gave you some indication when I was here speaking on the lost sheep that the 99 were self-righteous. They thought they had their act together. Before Jesus presents each of these parables, the disciples say, "Why are you speaking to them in stories?" And Jesus says about me and some of you, it's because they think they've heard it all and their ears are now closed. They think they've seen it all and that there's nothing else to see. And so I don't give them the mysteries of the kingdom, queendom, mortem, all of heaven outright. I give it to them in parables, that those who are ready to see can see, but not the others. And those who are ready to hear can hear, but not the others. And so he is speaking to all of us who think we've got our act together in each of these parables. He is saying there is something yet for you to find. It is so easy for spiritual people who have been on the path very long, or religious people who know their Bible backward and forward, or A Course in Miracles people who have done the 365 workbook lessons for the last 10 years in a row, to think we've got our act together, that we know it all and we've seen it all. Jesus does not agree. He believes that many of us, because we think we know it all, will not ever come into knowing what's really important. And those of us who think we have heard it all will sit in auditoriums and in sanctuaries and in temples and in ashrams, thinking, I've heard all this before. No need to bring it in. I think that Jesus choosing this parable had a particular significance, because he talks about pearls, and as many of us, or all of us, know, pearls are found in oysters. And what many of us, if not all of us, know is that oysters were a forbidden food for the Jews. Oysters were considered ungodly. You got to lump that up with shrimp and clams and all the other stuff many of us love to wolf down, love to take in. To the Jews, it was untouchable food. So an oyster that you find represents something unholy, something ungodly. You can't see God there from the outside. But some of the oysters, if you open them up, you will find a pearl. To me, the significance of the Easter message in connection with this parable of the pearl of great price is that many of us are completely addicted to looking at the outside of a circumstance, at the outside of people, at the outside of our activities, and looking at the outside and judging by the appearances of things seen. We never take a look inside that clam, and therefore we never have an opportunity to find for ourselves a pearl of great price. Jesus is telling them here that there are many circumstances and outer conditions that do, in fact, appear to be ungodly. It makes me think about our political climate, the climate of race issues in this country, the unlevel playing field of economics, the racism, the sexism, the elitism, the classism, and the many, many phobias that are around. We look at the outside of these circumstances, and Jesus is telling us, if you open your eyes, you will be able to see that the kingdom, queendom, mortem, all them of God is all around you. But we are looking at the shell and have not opened up the clam. And so we have an argument with this teaching of Jesus, that the entire kingdom, queendom, mortem, all of them is within us, and that it is possible for us to see it in the surround, we beg to differ. Oh, no. You see, we're waiting to get our dance on when we think an opportunity will present itself for us to be free. Many of us are waiting until there is an end to sexism for us to get our dance on, an end to racism before we can get our dance on. Equality in the political field, equal opportunities. When this happens, I can get my dance on. But in the meantime, I am just waiting for heaven to arrive. I know he said it's here, but to me it's clear it hasn't arrived. Look at the ungodliness that is available to see for anyone who cares to look for it. Look at the unholiness that presents itself. If holiness means wholeness, where everyone has equal opportunity, equal access to the welcome table of our God, I can't. can't see it. I'm looking at the shell of the oyster. Which is why Jesus is always telling us, you have to look deeper. You have to look inside. Many of us, when we look at ourselves, only see an oyster shell. We see something that is crudely made. It has bumps and grooves that are not pretty. We look at our own lives and we see evidence of our own unholiness, of our own ungodliness, and the message that the Holy Spirit speaks every day in every way is you're judging by the appearances of things seen. You have to open the shell, and there you may find a pearl of great price. What is this pearl of great price? It is, for me, as I began to think of it, it's the opportunity to stop waiting for heaven to get here. It's an opportunity to realize, to recognize, to have faith in, and to believe that regardless of the inequity that appears in the world around us, we can know this day is the day I can get my dance on. That this is the day my Lord has made. And I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Even in the midst of the appearance of racism, even in the midst of the appearance of sexism, even in the midst of the appearance of inequity and classism and elitism, I can know that I have found heaven. This is my pearl of great price. And this consciousness only is the consciousness that will allow me to dance even through the valley of the shadow of death itself. The pearl of great price is our opportunity to be free right now. Freedom in the appearance of captivity. Many of us feel that we are captives to our body. Inside we feel great. My mind is still sharp. I still have a great spirit. Inside there's a skip in my walk. There's a pep in my step. Inside, well, this body is letting me down. I can't feel free with a body in this condition. And Jesus is there saying, oh, yes, you can. Freedom is a choice. Yes. You know, freedom is like oxygen. Those of us who have it barely even notice. But those of us who don't are dying for lack of it. Jesus says freedom is available to us right here and right now. Many of my really motivating and really energizing ideas around Easter have come from Scripture, but some of them have come from outside sources. I love it when people write plays and people create movie scripts where they take poetic license and they put things in there that were not found in the Scriptures. They fill in the blanks. One of my favorite shows when I was growing up that we watched every Easter, probably since somewhere in the 60s when they made the was called King of Kings, and Jeffrey Hunter played Jesus. Yeah. And I came to realize later that the real Jesus actually looked nothing like Jeffrey Hunter. But Jeffrey Hunter was so pretty. Yeah. I was glad they cast him, and glad for a while that I thought that's what Jesus really looked like. I couldn't wait for that dude to come and get me. No offense. The Bible didn't describe Jesus as being a pretty boy, but Jeffrey made me believe he was as pretty as I could stand. In this movie, the screenwriter took poetic license. He filled in a blank for us. We all know that John the Baptist was arrested before Jesus' time for his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. The Bible does not tell us that Jesus ever visited John, but this screenwriter put it in the script. So in this movie, we have Jesus going to the prison to visit John. The guard at the prison is sitting at his desk when Jesus walks in. The guard says to him, "What are you here for?" And Jesus says, "I have come to see John." The prison guard says, "And what do you want with John?" And Jesus says, I have come to free John. And the prison guard says, get out of town on a fast train. You can't free John. Don't you know this is one of the strongest prisons anywhere? Don't you know that the walls are thick, that the gates and the bars are made of the strongest iron available? Don't you know that we have guards at every cell? Don't you know that he's chained with a chain as thick as his ankles? You've come to free John. Jesus says, I have come to free John within his cell. Little Carlos, at about 6 or 7 years old, started tingling all over. His heart started beating. An excitement he had never felt before suddenly infiltrated little Carly's mind. A possibility he had never thought of before. Possible to be freed inside yourself? As a child, I was in a cell of secrecy. Adults had harmed me and were continuing to harm me. I was a little boy who was being molested by a number of people in the church, and they said it was my fault. I was in a cell. And Jesus said, I have come to free Carly within his cell. It opened my mind to a possibility I had never thought was possible. That circumstances and conditions can remain the same. It can appear that I am imprisoned in my circumstances, in my conditions, in the low estate of colored people at the time, of the lack of opportunity for colored people at the time. As a child who was being hurt by adults at the time, I could be free inside all that. I didn't have to wait until the pain stopped. I didn't have to wait for equity. I didn't have to wait for justice. I simply had to awaken to being the living expression of freedom in captivity. Many of us have been waiting for the fairy godmother to arrive, or for Prince Charming to show up and kiss us awake out of our dreams. But I have been alive for almost 67 years, and never has Prince Charming or the fairy godmother showed up to free me and to wake me up and to end the conditions that I was in ever. I don't know about you. Maybe there's one or two people in here who they have showed up for. But we must be in charge of our resurrection. We must be in charge of our awakening. We must be in charge of our overcoming. Some Jews are waiting for the initial coming of the Messiah. And many Christians, if not most, if not all, are waiting for the second coming of the Messiah. But Jesus has announced, the Messiah has arrived, and you're it. You are the Messiah. You are the Holy Child of God, whom God is perfect. You are the vessel of all power and all authority. He continues to tell us, greater is the power that is within you than anything you'll ever go through in the surround, than anything you'll have to deal with in the world. This great power within you, which is your capacity to be free even in captivity, the appearance of incarceration. This is the pearl of great price. When we look at what's going on in the world, between people of different races, different religions, different denominations and factions within those religions. What's going on politically? What's going on? Sometimes it doesn't look like what is going on is holy. Sometimes it doesn't look like what's going on is godly. But Jesus said, within that ship, there is a pearl of great price, which is your opportunity not to pretend you are the victim of anything or anyone in the world. To awaken the Christ that you are. To awaken to the power that you have. Whatever you seem to be incarcerated by, whether it's an addiction to substance or liquids, whether it's an addiction to your own fear and speaking your reasons for being afraid, whether it's your addiction to complaining, whether it's your addiction to blaming, whether it's your addiction to judging and attacking, it's all an addiction to the idea, I am a victim of the world I see. And Jesus says, wake up. I come among the living to call upon the dead. The deal is, to have this consciousness of being Christ, you have to let go of all of your other ideas of who you are. You can't be Christ and be a victim. You can't be Christ and pretend you're powerless to the powers that be. You can't be Christ and shake like a reed in the wind every time something comes through the news or you open up an envelope. That's not being Christ. That's being asleep. That's hiding in the shell. They sang, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. The next time you find yourself being fearful, pretending that you're the result of everything that's happening, and I can be happy if people push my happy button, but yeah, I'm going to be sad if they push my sad button, and I'm going to be scared if they push my scary button. Being a machine, he simply said, I have come to free you within yourself. You don't have to wait for things to change to get your dance on. You don't have to wait for the appearance of your freedom to know you're free. It's time for us to truly be liberated. It's time for us to recognize that the resurrection was a success. The thing I like about Jesus most is that he thinks he's you. He swears he's you. And he swears he's God. So if he's you and God, you must be God. So when I think about my relationship with Jesus, it's very new thought, it's very unity, it's very Course in Miracle-y, and it's still very Pentecostal. I still write some songs out of unity consciousness, Course consciousness, and I still write some out of the consciousness of little Carly watching King of Kings. And even at that age, going, is it okay that I think he's beautiful? And being introduced to a very novel idea. I don't have to wait until they stop molesting me and hurting me. I don't have to wait until colored people get to actually swim in the public pool throughout the week and not just on Fridays right before they clean the pool. I don't have to wait until we can go on the side of the beach that actually has sand and not stay on the side of the beach where there's just burnt cinders. I don't have to wait until my teachers at school treat me as a valuable young child. I don't have to wait for anything. All I have to do is wake up. All I have to do is be free right here, right now, in the circumstances, just as they are, with everything looking like it's looking. I am the pearl of great price. I return to the consciousness of my oneness with the Creator and all of creation. That's the pearl of great price. And doggone it, if I have to sell or give. give away every contrary idea. I better be about doing that. I better get busy doing that. I can't straddle the fence. I can't come to unity and go, all there is God. And my essential self is God. And through my thoughts and feelings, I create heaven. And prayer, if I just pray, that's going to connect me with God. And suddenly, I'm going to be rich and in abundant health. And everything's going to go my way. And all I have to do is practice what I preach. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to feel better than ever.
And Jesus says, boy, in the meantime. Free right now. There's no need to wait. You don't have to wait for a better paying job or a bigger apartment. Some people in Unity are people who are living on the streets, and their prayer is to get into a shelter. And to those of you I speak, you don't have to wait until your name comes up on the lottery and they move you in physically. You can move in consciously. You can move in your heart and in your mind. You have the authority to do this. And what will try to stop you is your own mind. It is that part in your mind that does not believe it is possible for you to be free right now. That's what we say when we use the word devil. It's the part of us that does not want us to be free, but that part is not who we really are. That is the idea of fractured being. That's the victim yelling loud. But A Course in Miracles says if you don't listen to the screaming voice that said you are a victim, a quiet voice will soon follow. And it will say, I've come to free you within yourself. I don't know what your soul is. I know what mine is. You see, I live with me. I never get out of my sight. I know everything I'm thinking. I know what I believe as opposed to what I pretend to believe. I know what I really have faith in regardless of what I verbalize having faith in. I catch me all the time needing to be awakened, needing to close my eyes and see Jeffrey Hunter in his wig and his bringing his beautiful self into the space where I am, saying, I too can see your thoughts. I too know that sometimes your true faith is not what you preach about. I have come to free you within yourself. Christ consciousness is worth giving up all other ideas and identification papers you are carrying. You are under the influence of a case of mistaken identity. You really do think you're a separate self apart from all other selves. You really do think you are not at home, at one with God. But the resurrection was a success. So the Pentecostal part of me says, if he rose, so did I. If he ascended, so did I. If he was capable of looking at the world and all of its harshness and saying, I forgive you, then so am I. I was able to forgive my perpetrators one by one. Some of beginning with those who that were most easy or the less icky of them. I started with the less icky of them, or the ones who only got to me once or twice. But then I had to stretch to those who got to me every month and to the ones who took me off to camps and Christian gatherings where I was horrified on the way. I had to forgive them and let them go because you know what? I
can't say I'm free, and yet I'm a captive to them. I can't say I am unlimited and be limited by them. I hope that what I've been able to do is to mix a parable with an Easter message. And I hope some of you actually heard it. And I hope some of you can actually see the dance of light that is always blazing through the appearance of a shadow. Last Saturday, I watched young person after young person after young person after young person take a microphone and stand up and speak their Oh my God. I have been to a lot of revivals, but I had never been to a revival like that one. They weren't standing up in fear saying, we are victims. They were standing up in power saying, doggone it, something's got to be done. I demand it. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there's nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is.
I get lost. I get lost sometime in the wilderness of confusion about who I am, what my identity is. I get lost in carrying around fake IDs. Fake IDs proclaiming my reasons for fear, my reasons for upset and anger, my reasons for feelings of powerlessness. After all, I see the evidence everywhere. So I'm easily convinced to lose my way. Even if I make up my bed in hell, the truth will find me there. The truth of who I really am. And this isn't something I've just read. I'll live. lived it more times than I can count. So here I am again today. On the Sabbath day, to proclaim my resurrection, that I have been dead more times than I can count, and that I have always risen from the dead. Not under my own human power, but because the capital S me will never forsake the little S me. It will bind me. And what is true of me is true of you as well. How many, many times have you been found carrying a fake ID, proclaiming your reason for fear, upset, immobility, and dysfunction? Yet the true self of you will never leave you nor forsake you. It will knock at the door of your mind and heart saying, "Here I am. I am. I am. I've come to find you. I've come to release you. Not from your circumstances or conditions or challenges, but right inside of these. I have come to free you within yourself. You're found. Believe this and rejoice and be glad. You, once dead, are alive again. You, once lost, have been found. You, once a wanderer, have now been carried. Think on these things. With a deep, gentle voice, bring yourself into this moment of here and now, and rejoice.